Are you still looking for that one iodine that you can really trust? A medical doctor-endorsed product that is backed by honest research and true integrative science? Then search no further. Go to NutraMedical.com for Dr. Bill Deagle's Nutriodine, proven time and time again to be the very best iodine available for you. Nutriodine is the only Tesla-activated monatomic plasma iodine in the world. It optimizes mitochondrial function and generation of new mitochondria, from totally neutralizing the venom from a desert recluse spider bite in Southern California to eliminating malaria parasites reported by medical missionaries in Central India. Dr. Bill's Nutriodine is simply the most powerful healing formula there is. Nutriodine clears the body of all known pathogens, restores it to an alkaline state, and even promotes stem cell regeneration. Order Dr. Bill's Nutriodine today at 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutriMedical.com.
This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNLive.com today.
Welcome back, and we have the amazing Vin Spinelli. Has his own show here, USA Prepares, here on Genesis Network. Your website address is usaprepares.com?
Yeah.
USA, we're talking about real practical stuff. They're getting rid of the different lights. For example, most of the regular 60-watt, 100-watt lights are gone now. Yeah. They're now in the process of getting rid of the ballast for fluorescent lights. They're pushing LED, which, by the way, save a lot of power. They do generate electropollution, a magnetic field around them. And if you don't have stressorizer plugins in your walls, you're going to get electropolluted, which jams your cellular communication. It turns out the frequency range of the these what's called low-frequency electropollution from step-down transformers and other things in your home actually jam the communication of minerals to your nucleoplasm and activating your genes. So they actually silence and jam your genes talking to your ion channels. That's not good. In other words, it's jamming cellular activity. So you like fluorescent lights, and you give an option of what you can do for that. People need to be prepared for the fact that the Walmart store and the hardware stores aren't going to be open when all hell breaks loose. Yeah. But you need to start prepping and thinking now in advance of how to take care of your lights and your other things, or you're just not going to have them, right?
Right. So the story that we started to tell during the previous hour of your broadcast was about how this storefront, the owner of the building, decided to replace the fluorescent lights with LEDs. And I think I know the reason. I think that the tenant of this building, who was operating a store, was not responsible for the light fixtures nor the light bulbs. So that the landlord was responsible. So the landlord decided, wow, it's getting really tough to get these 8-foot fluorescent bulbs, and the store's getting dimmer and dimmer as the bulbs are burning out, and he can't find the replacements. And although there are some replacements available, the cost is 4, 5, 6 times more than it used to be. So he did what most people would do. Okay, I guess the solution is LEDs. Because he went to the store, and the guy at the store, who's a minimum wage guy, said, oh, yeah, all you have to do is take out those fluorescent light bulbs, those 8-footers, and then you open up the fixture, and then there's a ballast in there, which is like an oblong transformer. Take that out, disconnect it, rewire it so that you bypass the 6 wires on the ballast transformer, and you just run it on 120 volts, and you put the cover back on, and you put these fancy new LED tubes in there, and everything's great, except the light color. And tell them the light color would be kind of weird.
Yeah, the light color so that's all messed up, right?
Yes. It's really, it's bluish. It's harsh on the eyes. It really is harsh. And what this particular building has is these fluorescent replacement bulbs, which are, you know, the same shape and size as the They're LEDs, but they're the same shape, size, and pin configuration as the fluorescents. But it has these LEDs, hundreds of them, and they're really bright little points of light. So if you look up, they hurt your eyes. It's not this smooth, even lighting that you get with the fluorescent fixtures. So they sold their tubes, used tubes, on Craigslist. So I went over there to the store, and I asked, okay, could we see them? They said, sure. And I looked, and I went with our son, and we had our pickup truck because they're 8 feet long. We brought our 8-foot bed pickup truck. And they had them standing in the corner, and we asked them how many they had, and they had about, I don't know, maybe 60. But not all of them were suitable for us. They didn't have the right pins on the end. But they had 47 of them that would work for us. But we didn't test them. We just said, okay, we believe you. These are used, and some of them look more used than the others. And the way you tell is you look at the ends, and if their ends start getting black, they are at about the end of their life expectancy. And the blacker they are, the less life they have left.
Right.
So some of them were pretty black, and some of them weren't. And so we just said, okay, we'd like them all. How much? I was absolutely shocked. Absolutely shocked. The guy said, 47 of them, $20.
You're kidding.
Nope.
Wow.
I said, okay, that's fine with me. If it's okay
with
you, I'd like to buy them.
You don't want to give more detail, otherwise he'd raise the price.
Well, here's what he said. It was kind of odd. He said, look, if you don't want them, I'm just going to throw them away. So I'm going to throw them away, but for you, $20. And that was okay. It was absolutely okay with me. I was delighted to get them. I bought some more at Lowe's because they were blowing them out at half price, but they didn't have very many. So I bought some 4-footers and some 8-footers. I've got them here. But if you call Lowe's now, and I suggest that those who are paying attention to what we're saying, if they have fluorescent bulbs, that they call Lowe's, because Lowe's is blowing out the Sylvania brand only for half price. But there probably aren't many left. And you know, I was talking to one of our instructors who is has been on the air with us at USA Prepares, and he is in the medical profession. And I said, hey, and this guy and I are buddies. You know, I help him with his farm, and I'm teaching him about farming and electricity and plumbing and all kinds of things. I'm helping him rehab his farmhouse. So for fun, we work on this project together, and he's the student, and I guess I'm the teacher. But we work on it together, and it's fun. It's just two guys having fun. So he's a doctor. So I called him up and I said, hey, you got fluorescent lights, right, in your practice? And he goes, oh yeah. I said, well, you know, they've been discontinued. They've been banned since 2012 and 2014. He goes, you know what? That's really interesting you say that, because every time I go to Lowe's, I can't find the light bulbs I need. And I said, yeah, I know, because they're discontinuing them. He said, well, what are we going to do? And I said, well, we ought to get them right now. If you're going to continue staying in practice and you don't want to replace them all with the LEDs, you ought to get them right now. So, you know, he's been searching. Now, he uses a different size, and I want to talk about the sizes in just a second. So the fluorescent tubes have been around for 80 years, and they come in three major sizes. And I'm talking about just the tube ones, not the ones that are shaped like U's or the circle ones or, the small 13 waters that Philips makes. I'm just talking about the long type tubes with either one or two pins on each end. They come in sizes, and the nomenclature begins with the letter T. T as in Thomas. And they have there's a T12, a T8, and a T5. And interestingly enough, I guess because they've been around for 80 years or more, the 12 stands for 12/8 of an inch. The 8 stands for 8/8 of an inch, and the 5 is 5/8 of an inch. So a T12 fluorescent tube is 12/8 of an inch in diameter, or 1.5 inches. The T8s are 8/8 or 1 inch in diameter, smaller, and then the T5s are 5/8, and they're the thinnest of the fluorescent tubes. Well, the EPA, of course, you know, we've talked about this, has banned them, and they're really, really getting hard to get. So, in addition to banning the light bulbs, the EPA has banned the manufacture of magnetic ballasts. Now, there are four components of these fluorescent fixtures. The metal box, usually painted white. The ballast, which is the typically a magnetic device, which is like a transformer that lets these fluorescent fixtures work. Then the lamp holders, which are the on the ends of the fixture, which hold the lamp in place and provide the electrical connection. And a tube. That's it. That's the fluorescent fixture. Well, the EPA banned the manufacturing of the magnetic ballasts as well as the tubes. But you can still make the magnetic, you can still make the housing, the metal box, but why do that? It makes no sense. And we're now looking at a much, much bigger problem than just fluorescent lighting. And I'll tell you where these are used, these kinds of lights are being used, and I'll share with you my solution to the problem, which is, you know, I can solve this problem for my lifetime, but not much longer than that. And we'll talk about that when we come back.
Yeah, absolutely. Amazing stuff. And if you don't anticipate these things now and learn these skill sets, you're not going to be able to do it when the hardware stores are closed and things are seeing societal.
The answer to being in.
Welcome back, and we have Vince for talking about lighting. you mentioned a couple of things. Now, we've done the batteries. Did you have anything further, by the way, from Rich Shaben on the deep cycle silicon salt batteries or the nickel iron batteries
no,
or the other ones
no.
available? Because I think people need to put together.
I can tell you about the nickel iron. I know about lead acid. And I know about deep cycle lead acid and shallow cycle lead acid. You know, the shallow ones are for the automobiles and trucks. Deep cycles are, you know, for trolling motors and, you know, marine use. And some people use the deep cycle lead acid batteries for their solar systems. But I prefer to use the nickel iron. So I have a battery bank of 40 1.2-volt nickel iron batteries. However, I am not happy with our Chinese manufacturer. They are miserable to work with, and I can't recommend them until they decide that they are going to warranty this defective cell that I have. I've got one lazy cell. It just doesn't work right. And if it were an American company, I could just go over there and say, listen, I have a problem. Let's test it together. And they go, you know what? You're right. Let's replace it under warranty. But the Chinese are very difficult to work with, in my experience. Now, I'm sure it's not all the Chinese, but it's in terms of these batteries, you know, they say things like, you know, I've got a problem with some of the caps that screw onto the batteries that allow you to put that distilled water in it. So I let them know that they just pop open. You know, they're flip tops and they just open up on their own. And it bothers me because it lets dust in there, it lets more oxygen in there, and oxygen is an enemy of the electrolyte. So I want to stop that, and I let them know, hey, these caps fail. And their response is, oh, Vincent, no, not under warranty. Caps are a gift.
We
don't warranty gifts.
See, you know, the Chinese have a cultural problem. Win-win us, fail you, tough luck, have a nice day.
Yeah.
That's their attitude.
Yeah.
That's why when you see Xi making odd faces now, the Trump's going to stop the intellectual property theft and do $30 billion of tariffs. That's only the start. China, as far as I'm concerned, like the military, they're screwed and tattooed. Trump's not going to put up with the business practices of China that are basically raping and pillaging us. They're not. We should have American companies making our power stepped-on transformers and other things that are national security issues. You don't have the material to replace your power grid if it gets damaged by a coronal mass ejection from the sun or an EMP attack or a cyber attack. What the hell? Excuse my English. Right?
Let me give you a concrete example. So one of our instructors, I've known this gentleman for years, over three decades, close to four. He's a radio frequency engineer in Silicon Valley. He gets hired by a lot of companies to do investigative work. He's a patent holder. He's a really, really bright guy. And so one of these companies that manufactures cell phones contacted him, and they said, hey, we're having a problem. There are knockoffs of our phone, and they are so good, they look just like our phone. I mean, they are a perfect knockoff. So they gave him the original phone. They gave him a sample of the knockoff, and they invited him to investigate and figure out exactly how this is happening. So a USA company has a manufacturing facility or uses a manufacturing facility in China. And so he got out his magnifying lens. He opened up the cell phone. He's looking at the tooling marks on the semiconductors, the tooling marks on the case. You know, they're identical. I mean, they've even copied this so that even the flaws of manufacturing are contained in the counterfeit example. Tough one to crack. So what he found out, he did investigate it further, and what he found out was absolutely amazing. So the American guys who work over there arrive at work at 8 o'clock. They leave at 5 o'clock. And that's when the production of these cell phones occurs. From 6 o'clock until the next morning, that's the next shift. The next shift manufactures the same phones on the same production line with the same tooling, the same everything, the same electronics, the same scratches inside as the genuine article. So they're running two shifts. The shift for the Americans who are in charge of the factory, and then the Chinese are running their own counterfeit operation out of the same factory with the same parts.
That's their policy and attitudes. Very disgusting attitude, isn't it?
Absolutely. So when the counterfeits sometimes look as good as the original, and all of the R&D is done in the United States, where we put all the money into designing these products
and all the patents and everything.
Yeah, well, in my opinion, and it's just my opinion, a patent is a license to steal. How do you determine who is counterfeiting your product in China if it's in a different factory? Where do you go? We don't speak the language. We don't know the culture very well. We're a foreigner in China. How do we protect our intellectual property? The only way I can think of is that we do what Donald Trump wants to do and knock this off and have tariffs and bring these jobs back here. Because if you've got a guy in Minnesota who's knocking off your product from California, you get in your vehicle and you drive over to Minnesota and you read him the Riot Act. You explain to him how it's going to be. And that's what I would do.
Right.
But you can't do that.
But that's going to happen now with China. China's done as far as I'm concerned. They're done.
That's great. Well, getting back to the light bulbs. So there are the three tubes in the T12s, the T8s, and the T5s. And they are discontinued. So here's what I did. I got on Craigslist and I found this guy who was selling some. And I found another guy and another guy and another guy. Well, the guys who are selling these fluorescent tubes really are not experts in them. They really don't know what they have. Some guys are selling used ones as new. Some guys are selling, they put used ones in a box that doesn't match the contents. So you really have to look at them very, very carefully. And if you can get them for a dollar a piece or less, that's great. But you're probably not going to get very many new ones unless they have some extra supply that they say, well, we replaced all the fixtures, so we've got a few new ones in the bundle of used ones and, you know, take them all. So typically, you'll be able to get them for a dollar or less each. So that's what I did. I bought a lifetime supply of fluorescent bulbs for our farm because I refused to let the investment of what I'm estimating is $1,600 in fixtures go to waste. And I like the fluorescent tubes. Now, if you go to the guy at Lowe's or one of these big box stores and you say, hey, what do? You guys don't sell these tubes anymore for my fluorescent lights. They'll probably tell you what they told me. That is, well, all you have to do is use these LEDs. They work great. Now, imagine this. So you're in Lowe's or you're in Walmart or you're in Home Depot and you look up and you go, wow, they've got a couple hundred fluorescent fixtures in the ceiling. And all they have to do is rewire each one. How much would that cost? To rewire each one for LED light bulbs.
Keep that thought. We'll be right back. Your questions are welcome. Again, the number to call here. Check in Vince's show. USA Prepares, 877-317-6432.
Program.
Welcome back, and so Vince, this is a very important discussion. Yesterday we had a discussion with Dave Mitchell about setting up what I call secure, I call Christian, secure villages. And you need 50 to 100 families, I think, to have them make a community that has not only capacity skill sets on, whether it's evacuating a pneumothorax or policing an area or doing what you do, which is fixing lighting, welding, doing farming skills, and perimeter control. You need to have actually all the skill sets, including ham radio operator, etc., in order to be able to actually have a surviving village that can go on. And you have to plan for that village to survive the total collapse of society for decades or even centuries. You can't presume that society is going to come back because, to be honest with you, it's not. When society collapses in the big cities, they're going to be kill zones. They're not going to survive, are they?
No, I don't think so. We've been talking with our neighbors about just that situation and how we're all going to have to work together in order to survive. And they're starting to get it. You know, at first they thought we were a bunch of wackos. Now they realize that we're not.
What's happening is they realize they're the wackos because they're trying to deny the ugly truth of what's coming.
Mm-hmm. Well, getting back to the lighting. So we now know that the long tubular fluorescent light bulbs have been banned from manufacture. And as
right.
I said, I bought a lifetime supply. I bought all the bulbs that of the Sylvania brand manufacturer at 50% off at Lowe's. They couldn't wait to get rid of them. But they're not thinking. And I'll tell you why. Because somebody should have looked up at their store and said, whoa, we have a whole bunch of these fixtures, and they use four bulbs apiece or two bulbs apiece. Why don't we just keep these Sylvania ones because we're going to need them? But no, they're blowing them out. So they're going to end up replacing all of their fixtures or retrofitting them so they can use these new LEDs. Well, I'm not happy with that, and I wasn't willing to do it. And I solved the problem very, very cost-effectively by buying the tubes on Craigslist. So that brings us to another problem. Now, if you look at some outside light fixtures, and I mentioned on the break that we have these here at our farm. I bought a case of them years ago, and they are very simple. They have a photocell in them. They use a Philips PL13 fluorescent bulb. They last a really, really long time. And they're very plain. I've got one over each bay of each garage door. So, you know, 13 watts apiece. They use very little current. They light up really well. I've got them by our outdoor wood stove. Got a lot of them. And I was concerned about where am I going to get the bulbs. So I found a guy on the Internet selling a bunch of them. And I bought 65 bulbs for about $50. Shipped. I was delighted. Absolutely delighted to get them for that price, shipped, no tax. And as I mentioned to you, I have this allergy that I don't think can be cured. And it is, I'm allergic to
You're a funny guy. You're a very funny guy.
I am allergic to paying sales tax. I hate paying sales tax. It's a tax for the privilege of spending money. And it annoys me. So, and I don't like being taxed multiple times on the same earnings. And that's what sales tax is. So you earn the money the first time. They give you state and federal tax on your earnings. And then when you go to spend what you have left, they tax you again with sales tax. So I'd rather spend money on shipping to get a product to me than to turn it over to the corrupt state of Missouri. But that's just a political statement. Getting back to the bulbs, I bought plenty of fluorescent bulbs for the fixtures, but that's only part of the answer. The other part of the answer is the ballast. So anyone who has a fluorescent fixture, had one for a long time, knows that not only do the fluorescent bulbs fail, that's a long time, you know, over 10 years, but there's an internal component, the ballast, which is this like transformer-like device that fails too. Well, we have banned the manufacturing of magnetic ballasts in the United States.
Right.
So we just told these guys...
Isn't that crazy stuff that we're doing? It's crazy we've done this,
well,
isn't it?
It's beyond crazy. And here's why. I know that if everyone who's listening to this broadcast thinks about it, they have seen this. What is it? Well, it's this light blue-colored light that if you're in a restaurant and you look in the kitchen, you'll see this light blue light. Or sometimes actually in the dining areas of some restaurants, you'll see this light blue light. If you go to Sam's Club and you go to where they sell their hot dogs and pizza and sodas, you'll see this light blue light. Well, it's an ultraviolet light in a housing to diffuse and filter out the dangerous UV components
right.
that will damage your eyes. But what happens is when it hits bacteria, this light hits bacteria, it destroys it. It kills it. So these bacterium do not survive near this light. Well, where is it used? I just mentioned the restaurants and the kitchens. All over the country, they have them. But in some large corporate buildings, and even in some homes that have heating, ventilation, and air conditioning systems, they have these ultraviolet bulbs that disinfect the air that is in the ductwork. Well, how common is that? Well, I guess it's somewhat common because I have it here at our home. Well, the ballast that makes that work are no longer manufactured in this country.
Wow.
So where are we going to get those from? Yeah.
Where are you going to get them from?
China. Oh, we can go to China because, you know, we'll let them make them and we'll buy them from them, right? Well, that's nuts. Absolutely nuts. Now, I called the CEO of the manufacturer of one of these light ultraviolet light disinfectant units. And he has a whole bunch of different models. And I called him up and I said, hey, I own one of your units and I've got a couple questions for you. Number one, what do you do about the ballast? He said, oh, man, that's a big problem. He said, the manufacturer of the ballast just went out of business. And I called him last week. He said the manufacturer just went out of business. They don't make them anymore. So evidently they were selling down their inventory. They tried to figure out what else they could do with the infrastructure they had in their manufacturing operation, and they gave up. They gave up because
wow.
our government put them out of business. Now, they make the disinfection lights for heating systems, and they went and that ballast company went out of business. How is that possible? How is that possible? It takes the big bad hand of government to beat up companies to make that happen. This was a flourishing company that manufactured a necessary product that our government put out of business.
Wow.
Now,
and they're still meddlesome, by the way. I saw a report there with Arnold Schwarzenegger saying we got to stop polluting. Yeah, it's true there's more plastic in the ocean, and we're polluting that's destroying the benthic layer. But the solution isn't to reduce pollution by getting rid of people or getting rid of guns or not realizing we can have total recycling of everything. The fact is that we export business to industries, say in China and Malaysia, where they have no pollution standards. And the fact is that they say, well, we've got to get rid of carbon credits, so we're going to get rid of certain lighting systems. So all these lighting system effects that you're talking about are totally the offshoot of crazy policies like the state of California that says, hey, we just got to get rid of all these carbon-generating systems, when in fact, even these battery cars that they make generate more pollution than a car that was run on coal or oil or hemp oil, which is, by the way, the original car was a hemp oil car. So what people don't understand is what's going on is pure insanity, isn't it?
I think it is. And my response is, I was livid, absolutely livid. So I did some research to figure out exactly what's going on. And I think that what we do, because we're farmers here at my end of the microphone, we see these things happening, and we react pretty quickly. We investigate, and we react. And because I have a radio broadcast, I talk about it. And that's what that's what's a little different about us.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. So we're actually talking about practical things. Today is the day that you learn these skills. So when you need to use them in a village, don't figure, by the way, you'll survive mom and pop. Even if you got millions of dollars in some rural area, you're going to die. You're just going to change your death certificate. So let's talk about this. The key things that I think you need for a village are: you need to have radio communication, you need to have power, you need to have lighting, you need to have a ability to grow food, including even food indoors if necessary with light. You need to have the ability to self-protect yourself and to have not only just guns, but also lethal and non-lethal systems to actually tell people that are trying to invade your territory, and to actually interdict them so they can't get in and do harm to yourself or your other people. You need to have a means of exchange. I like silver and gold coins, and especially carat bars and carat cash, because the money system is going to blow up. China last month declared the yuan as basically the sacred currency, which is backed by gold 5 years ago and last summer by oil, the petro yuan, they call it. They got the special drawing right from the IMF, the SDR it's called, from Basel, Switzerland. They're trying to compete with the U.S. dollar, and they're trying to literally crush this. So by 2025, Xi, now the new dictator for life, wants to become the new Mao Zedong, raising China to the point where it's the premier power on Earth with the Belt and Road system to project its power. Now, our globalists are collaborating to actually strip our industry and ship it to China and other countries so that we become a flaccid post-colonial power, when in fact that's not good, because if America goes down, there will be no such thing as nation states in a world where there will be just trade zones. People don't know this, do they? They don't realize the experiment with China, which is one-fifth of humanity now, is raiding them with social media so they can't even get a job. So you better learn how to do lights. You better learn how to do power. You better start thinking about it. And right now we're not asking for money. We just want a commitment to say, if you're interested in one of our Christian survival villages, which is right out of the Bible, talks about the cities of refuge. And these skill sets you're talking about are important. Like, why I want to get back on maybe on one of the shows, Rich Shaban, to talk about the batteries. He said he was going to research the silicon salt. We know the nickel iron battery. I talked to the guys up there in Montana. They said their production will be ready, I think, in about a month. So they've been working hard at getting it. They have the exclusive patents. There's knockoffs being manufactured in China that are inferior, that just are not properly done on the right machines. They imported basically technology to make batteries from Germany, and then they're kind of squeezing the technology to pretend they make silicon. They make nickel iron batteries, which is BS. They're not doing the same technology at all. And you have to be very careful. You have to be very careful that if you don't learn any skill sets of how to grow food and how to dehydrate food, I tell people, have multi-layers. We get the legacy food supply. We also have Ready Store. But the legacy food, I think, is the best. I just shipped a container to my son in Flagstaff, Arizona, where he lives there in an apartment right by the university. I think people need to start being able to get a dehydrator and also a liquid nitrogen dunk so they can dunk the tubes of food and basically kill all the pathogens off so it's dehydrated with a little dehydrator pack. But these things about lights and power and being able to switch, this is important. You have, let's say, a light that you can actually use to sterilize things. And if you can't fix the ballast on them, don't think you're going to call up a technician or just order it online and find these parts in the future. The New World Order and the globalist corporations are trying to tell you what to think and how to think and what you can order. They're not going to even have the parts to fix it, are they?
No, and let's describe how it's even worse than this.
Right.
So let's think about some of these pathogens that are in our well water, and they are disinfected with ultraviolet light. So a lot of people have these wells, and they have this this system, and we'll talk about the system. What is it? Well, it's a tube, and inside this tube that water travels through is another tube, which is made out of quartz. And in the quartz is another tube, which is an ultraviolet fluorescent light. So the ultraviolet fluorescent light disinfects the water, but it needs to be in a quartz tube rather than a glass tube. Well, where do those fluorescent tubes come from that produce ultraviolet light to disinfect the water? That would be China.
Right.
Where do the ballasts come from? That would be China, because we don't make the fluorescent ballast here anymore either. So when we talk about this scandal that hardly anyone, I don't know anyone who's talking about it.
No, well, you're it. I really think that you're the only top expert, and we have other people coming on a topic, like, for example, Rich Shaven will talk about his new batteries he's looking at that are not available yet, the silicon salt. And he's got a small solar power system. But people need to be ready to have not just an individual kind of trying to strike it out in Montana. It takes a village. Now, I'm not going to use the term from Hillary Clinton, but it takes a surviving Christian village with the same viewpoints to survive a total collapse of society. Because believe it or not, down the road, yes, there is a marriage supper of the Lamb. Yes, there is a millennial, if you want to call it, beyond kingdom. But you're not going to get there if you don't realize that we have to physically survive a very bad time in history.
And you talked about ham radio, and I've had a ham radio rig for a very long time.
Right.
And I decided that, well, originally I thought, I don't care whether I have a license or not, because in an emergency situation, anyone can get on a ham rig and transmit an emergency. You don't need a license. And I thought, well, I don't care about that anyway, because if things are really bad, who's going to be the heavy hand of regulation?
Who's going to get you, in other words?
Right, right. But what I did was, after thinking about it for a couple of decades, what I decided to do was get my ham license. And the reason I did was because I wanted to know more. And I thought that the pressure on me of learning more about radio transmissions and electronics and Ohm's law and, you know, radio theory and those kinds of things, the bands and so forth of transmitting and receiving radio signals would be a good thing. So what I did was I got some books from Gordon West. And Gordon West is a ham. He's one of our instructors. And so I got his books, and I read cover to cover in one day the licensing material necessary to pass the test. Now, I had a whole bunch of friends who came to the meetups that we used to have, and they studied for weeks and weeks and weeks. They went to classes together, and they talked about the technology and so forth, and they prepared for the exam day. And I decided I didn't have the time to do that. I didn't want to drive back and forth, you know, the 100 miles to be with the, you know, the rest of the meetup group to study. So I just decided I would study on my own. And I just took one day, and I read the book for the technical class for a whole day. And I studied for one day, crammed, highlighted with yellow highlighter in the book, took the exam and passed. So you can do it that way, too.
Right.
So it's possible to learn what you need to learn if you have the desire and inclination and time. So that's the way I approached it. So, yeah, I do have a ham license. But did I really think it was necessary to to transmit emergencies? No. But I wanted to know more. So that was my approach. And that's my approach to a lot of things. I want to know more about everything. And I'm willing to put forth the time and the effort to do that. And I think that's what it takes to be a survivalist, to be a person who is...
Well, you have to be curious. You have to be curious, number one. And you have to also be willing to be embarrassed that you don't really know things. You have to actually be embarrassed. You have to be comfortable with being stupid.
And, you know, my son...
you like that? Comfortable with being stupid?
Yes.
It's humbling. It's a humbling process to actually become a prepper. You realize, hey, if society collapses, I can't just go click Amazon. I can't just drive 2 miles or 3 miles down to the store and get stuff. I can't just, if the milkman was here, and you used to have milkmen to deliver stuff, or even now you can get delivery right to your home with things, that's not going to be available. All this stuff's going to go away, and everybody's very spoiled now. They're now so spoiled they actually don't even need to leave their home. They can have this thing called Blue Apron where they even deliver meals to your home. You just throw it in the oven and boom, you look like you're a master chef. Right?
I was reading a couple articles about taxi drivers who own medallions, like in New York City. And a taxi medallion would be, we'll call it a permit or a license from the city government corporation that will let you drive a taxi and operate a taxi if you have the medallion.
Right.
The cost of a medallion in 2007 was about $1 million.
So you think now, that's a little obscene, right?
Yes. Now they've plummeted to $180,000 because of Uber and Lyft, the ride-sharing
right.
services.
Did you hear about on Drudge, one of the taxi drivers, who was an old taxi driver, killed himself because of Uber and Lyft?
Yes.
He actually wrote a death note. So that's it, man. My career's over. He probably had $1 million medallion, and then he decided,
did.
Like, yeah. So he probably killed himself saying, hey, my career's over, my life's over, I'm done. See ya.
Right. And that was his retirement, the $1 million medallion, which was worth, less than a fifth of what it was years ago. And his retirement was shot because of Uber and Lyft.
Wow.
And Uber is dangerous, with their driverless vehicles. Gosh.
Oh, yeah. Did you hear about that story about the woman being killed by an Uber car?
Yes.
So they've shut down their testing. They need 5G, by the way, that fries your DNA in order to do these.
Truly the smarter in an hour pill. A combination of amino acids, trace minerals, and B vitamins, Cognition Plus is made with specialized herbal extracts that will enhance and support brain function. Our customers say,
I feel more focused.
My memory's getting better.
I can work longer with more useful hours.
Power up your neurotransmitters that have been depleted, like dopamine and norepinephrine. Stimulate the release of others, like serotonin and oxytocin. Improve circulation and energy production. Protect your mind and your loved ones today. Order Dr. Bill Deagle's Cognition Plus at 888-212-8871 or go online to NutriMedical.com. That's 888-212-8871 or NutriMedical.com. And listen to the NutriMedical Report on the Genesis Radio Network with open lines every weekday. NutriMedical.com, bringing nutrition and medicine together.